So to our visitors this morning, if you haven't already figured it out, things are a little bit different in here this morning. We're having our annual Thanksgiving meal, family meal, together. So that's why there's as many tables as there are and not open seats. But we're thankful for that, and we're thankful for each other, and this is a wonderful time of year to come together and remember that we are family. And I know for myself and for Jamie, moving halfway across the country, being away from our families, the things that we do together means a lot to us. So make sure that we recognize how good a time this is. Amen. So thankful. We hear that word a lot during this time of year. We try to be thankful, but what does thankful mean? What are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? Are you in a place in your life right now where it's hard to be thankful? I think we've all had those times where it's hard to find the things for which we should be thankful. What are you thankful for? There are things in life that we should always be thankful for, things that we take for granted but should be thankful to God for, things like life, breath, food, shelter, clothing. But sometimes it's just not easy. Sometimes it takes doing to remind ourselves that all these good things that we have, all these things that we can't imagine not having, are given to us by God. Because all good things come from God. So sometimes it takes some doing. It takes really paying attention, really looking at things in the right way. So when I ask you, what are you thankful for? I'm not really asking, is there anything for which you could be thankful? I'm asking, are you paying attention? Are you paying attention? What are you thankful for? Are you looking at the right things in your life and focusing on those things that you could be thankful for? Back in 1988, a Polish railway worker named Jan Grzebski, was hit by a train. And he lived, barely. And Jan was in a coma for 19 years. Now, if you don't want to do the math, I'll tell you, that means he woke up in 2007 after being hit by a train in 1988. 19 years. So when he woke to an entirely new world. When he had been hit in 1988, Polish was a communist state. Jan noted that back then meat was rationed. There were huge lines at nearly every gas station, and there was only tea and vinegar sold in shops. 19 years later, he awoke to a free nation where he said people were on the streets with cell phones, and there were so many goods in the shops it made his head spin. But something puzzled him. Everywhere he went, he saw these people with so much, and all they did was complain. He saw these people with amazing tools in the palms of their hands. There's more computing power in this than what they used to land on the moon. Think about that. Right here. And there were rooms and rooms and rooms of computers working together in order to do the math to land on the moon. And we could just do that now. And yet these people were walking around and they never stopped moaning. These people had freedom and food and wealth greater than Poland had had for decades. And yet when Jan woke from his coma, all that they seemed to do was grumble. If you don't get in the habit of thanking God for what you do have, you can get in the habit instead of grumbling to God about what you don't. What is your outlook? It seems that there are a lot of times when a Thanksgiving sermon ends up in Philippians. And I think that's because Paul is exceptionally thankful in Philippians. And so we end up there a lot, and we're going to end up there again here this morning. Paul talks about being thankful, rejoicing in God, and it's all about his perspective. Let's look at Philippians 1, 3 through 7, toward the beginning here. He says, I thank God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. In view of your participation in the gospel from this day, from the first day until now, excuse me. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all because I have you in my heart. Since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. The first thing that he says is, I thank God for you. But did you catch that part at the end? Since both in my imprisonment, is Paul in prison when he writes this? And the first thing that he writes is, man, I'm thankful. Paul is under house arrest during this time. He cannot leave. He cannot go out into public. He cannot go and do the work that God has called him to do. He's in prison. He's shut away. And yet he says, I'm thankful. I thank God for you. It's your perspective. A few years ago, I took a group of teenagers down to Guatemala, part of a group that all went there, and it changed my perspective. Being able to see these people with so little, they had so little, and yet they worshiped God with more fire than I had ever seen in my entire life. These people knew what other people had, and they didn't care. They knew what other parts of the world were like. People walking around on cell phones. But these poor people in these mountain villages, they didn't care about that. They had old beat up equipment, a guitar that they, you know, probably had to tune between every single song just because it just went out. And they didn't care. None of them were really trained how to do music. They just picked it up and figured it out, and they didn't care. They worshiped fervently. There was no holding still in those churches. Of course, there was also no staring at a screen because they didn't have one. They just knew the words to the songs because they did them over and over and through their days. They had so little, but their passion was so great. Their worship was incredible. You know, and here I am, a Bible college student with a bunch of teenagers, and we're going to go down there, and we're going to change their lives with the gospel. We're going to show them this awesome worship band that we'd put together. And then you try and play with them, and they're like, we'll just do this, this, and this. And you're like, I can't do that. Amazing things. Where do you think they had their eyes? Where was their focus? Their focus was on God and God alone. Where do we place our focus? Is it on the things that we don't have? Is it on the things that are going wrong? Is it on the things that we wish were different? Or is it on the things that we do have? The things that are going right. The things that God has blessed us with that we might not even notice. Are you looking for those things? You know, I come up here and I talk about Paul being in prison and still thanking God. What I don't want to do and what I don't want to make you feel is that if you are going through a hard time right now, I don't want to make you feel guilty for not feeling better about it. That's not what this is about. If you're going through a time right now where it's hard to be thankful, your pain is real. Don't let other people tell you that it's not. Your pain is real. And I'm not saying, well, you know, it, just think you could be in prison. It could be worse. You know, if ever you're going out to comfort somebody, saying it could be worse is really no comfort whatsoever. That's not what this is about. Paul thanked God even though he was in prison. My point with that is that if you focus on the right things, you might be able to find a little bit of joy. Paul was an example of that. Paul was in prison. He wasn't happy being in prison. But still, the first thing that he says is, I thank God. What did he have to be thankful for? The Philippian church, who are doing awesome things for God. What do you have to be thankful for? Paul was a great example, and so was Jesus. Let's look at Luke 22:19. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus, in this time, in his last meal with his friends, gave thanks. God, thank you for this bread, which so fitly represents the flesh, my flesh, which is going to be beaten and broken. Thank you for this wine, which looks so much like the blood that is going to spill out of me as I'm beaten and mocked and spit on. The same blood that will hit the ground when they stab me in the side to make sure that I'm dead. Thank you, God, that I have this opportunity to save the people that I love. Thank you, God, that I can die so that they might live. Thank you, God, for this. Where is our focus? The things that you're going through might be bad. They might be really bad. And yes, your pain is real, but where is your focus? Now, does that mean focusing on something else is going to make everything okay? No. No. But realizing the things that God has blessed us with can change how we react. Where is your focus? If you're focusing on Him, you'll see the things that God has blessed you with. You'll see how fortunate you are. Think of the old hymn, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." When your focus is on Him, everything else seems less significant or even completely insignificant. Where is your focus? You might find that if you're focused on Him, that these things that you're struggling with don't seem as big. This struggle, this hardship, this pain, if you focus on Him, you might even see that it might be there to teach you something. God's word says that He works everything together for the good of those who love Him. That doesn't mean that everything is going to be good, but He can take those bad things and turn them around into something good. Giving thanks is intentional. Joy is intentional. It's not just something that happens to you. It's a choice that you make. Let's look at James 1, 2 through 4. "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, let's think about this. It says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. It doesn't say, it's going to make you happy when you encounter various trials. Consider it all joy. It's not about what it makes you feel in the moment. It's about how you decide to react. It doesn't say it will make you happy. Like, oh, trials. Yay, my favorite. I love it when things go wrong. It's the best. But consider it all joy. Don't focus on what you feel, but focus on what choice you're going to make from there. Don't let your emotions affect your mood. Do you hear me this morning? Well, that sounds weird, doesn't it? Don't let your emotions affect your mood. Doesn't your mood consist of the emotions that you feel? No. Emotions happen to you. Emotions can go from this to this. But your mood is how you decide to act on those emotions. Where you go from there. Are you going to get angry and then just be angry the entire rest of the day? Or are you going to get angry, deal with that, and then move on? Are you going to be sad that morning and then sad still that evening? Or are you going to deal with it and move on? Are you going to consider it joy? Because this thing that is happening to you, as much as it might seem awful, to God, it's nothing. To God, no problem is too big. Nothing can stop our God, amen? So no matter how bad it might seem right now, it's not a situation that God can't handle. And he is with you, and he loves you. So really, what's the use, what's the purpose in just being ticked off about it all day long? What's the use in worrying yourself over it and allowing your mood to be affected by those emotions? Give it over to God. Let it go. Let him take care of it. Be vulnerable to God. I know that's as soon as I say be vulnerable, everybody's like, I don't think so. Let's not do that. Let's lift ourselves up by our bootstraps, right? Good luck. Good luck. Admit to God your weakness. Admit to your brothers and sisters in Christ your weakness. Because a lot of times, the tool that God uses in order to pick you back up are these other people that are sitting around you right now. Admit to God that you need help. Admit to God that while you could soldier on, that it's not genuine. You're putting on a mask. And it's not going to last. You know, I always say that there's a benefit to talking to yourself. Which is good because I do that. You know, sometimes I have pretend arguments that never will or never did happen. You know, those things where you had an argument with somebody and you're like, oh, I wish I had said that. I'd have got him. It's ridiculous, but I do that. I also talk to myself. But there is a benefit sometimes of talking to yourself. You have that thing come up and you know that it's going to just ruin your day. You have that thing come up in your mind and you're dwelling on it. And sometimes it just is so helpful to be, no, stop it, shut up. We're going to think about this now, not this, because this sucks and this is awesome. Am I allowed to quote how I met your mother in church? I'm going to do it. instead of being awful, just be awesome instead, right? That's what Barney says. I was going to be sick, but then I just decided to be awesome instead, right? So don't choose to just dwell on this junk that's just going to bring you down. Be awesome instead. Because in God, we are made awesome. In God, we are made to be able to go out and do amazing things in His name. So don't be like that. Go be awesome instead. If you're worried about how your finances are going, go out and do something good for someone else. If you're worried about how your emotions are bringing you down and down and down, go try and do something else to make someone else happy. There are things that we can do. There are shifts of focus that we can make. Talk to yourself a little bit. Don't allow yourself to just dwell on these things that are bringing you down. Stop. Shake it off and be thankful for what you do have. Be thankful for what you do have. If you find yourself in these situations and you figure out that maybe God is trying to teach you something, try to learn it. If God is trying to teach you self-control, try to learn it. If God is trying to teach you patience, try to learn it. Try to learn it, because there can be joy. Like I said, it doesn't say it will make you happy when you encounter various trials. It says, consider it all joy. Rejoice that God is still bigger than any of your circumstances. Appreciate the difficulties and what they might teach you, how they might make you stronger. Consider it joy. I would say take charge of your joy. Take charge of your joy. Don't let your emotions affect your mood. Make the decision to choose joy instead. Take charge of your joy. Seize your joy. And allow God to grow joy within you. Joy is intentional. Giving thanks is intentional. And you know what does it say in Psalm 30, from which we get that Trading My Sorrow song? Though the sorrow may last through the night, joy comes in the morning. Take your days as they come, because good or bad, it's all temporary. It's all temporary. And you can make it through. Though we might deal with pain and loss, eventually the longer lasting, more powerful joy will come. Joy always lasts longer than sorrow. Joy is always stronger than sorrow. And even if you can't find something to be thankful for, even if you have trouble finding the thing going right in your life, there is still someone in whom we can be thankful. There's still someone who died on a cross for you. And we can thank Him for the gift that He's given us. Amen. We all have hard times. We all have struggles at home. You know, when you're fighting with your spouse, when your kids are being jerks, when they're seeming to go in the wrong direction, when your job is sucking the life out of you, when you lose someone you love. But even through it all, we can rejoice in God and we can rejoice in Christ. Because in the last night that He had with His friends, before He went to die, He gave thanks, and I think we can too. So I'll ask again, after seeing God's word on this, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? Change your perspective. Don't continue to just look at all the trouble. Don't focus on the pain. Focus on every good thing that God has given you. Thank God for all the wonderful gifts that are in your life, the wonderful people that are in your life. And thank God that He sent His Son to die for you. As it says in Philippians 4:8, which was read earlier, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. These things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Pray with me. Lord God, we are as always so thankful for your word this morning. We are so thankful for the opportunity to come to you and come and join with these other awesome people. And we thank you that even when everything seems like it might be going horribly, that there are still things in which we can give thanks. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for blessing us with every good thing that we have. And we pray, God, that you would never let us forget to be thankful, even once this particular season of our life is over, even when this particular season of the year is over, that we still in all things, always give thanks. We pray this in your name. Amen.